This is a reflection on a talk given by Cameron Butland for our inspired St Cuthbert weekend for the Edenwa Goose. So I'm going to reflect on some of the things that Cameron was saying to us and link them up to where we've got to on the Wild Goose, to talk about how we can be inspired by Cuthbert and in the wider context of the Celtic spirituality as well. Cuthbert's body is still with us, buried in Durham Cathedral. It was moved from Lindisfarne when the Vikings were attacking and went around in a large coffin. His body had been embalmed and it's very much intact. When the Victorians opened the casket to look inside, they found that it underlined what had been said about him. And not only did it find his cross, his bishop's cross, which is now the symbol of Durham Cathedral, but also there was a ring which confirms the size of his hands that were described as being large like dinner plates when he was placing his hands on people to pray. Also, the body, the skeleton, is large. It's indicating that he was maybe 6 foot, 6 foot one, and that confirms everything that was said about him in his life. In it as well is his gospel, a little leather-bound book. In fact, the oldest leather-bound bound book in Europe that has been found. It's an extraordinary document on vellum, and inside of it and on the pages, looks like written in his own hand. There's underlining and notes and marks that have been taken that are written there, perhaps for when he would stand by the large Celtic crosses to preach and to teach, and maybe when he was off into various villages to talk about how Jesus could change people's lives. John's Gospel. That's interesting. Why only John's Gospel? We hold that for a moment. Let's go to these Celtic sites, the ancient sites with their large high crosses, of which there are many around, and certainly there are some good local examples of that are intact. We think that the fragment of stone that we have been discovered in Wetherall Churchyard, that has now come back into our possession, was part of one of these high crosses. Now, in the other ones, very often the inscription, the recognition of the cross, is given to two different people. One is St. Martin, the Roman soldier saint, who gave to the poor, and the other one is St. John the Evangelist, who wrote John's Gospel. These two different themes are picked up. One of them is the concern for the poor, and one of them is the primacy of love. It's interesting as well that in our modern day prayer book, we have different strands of years. So we have year A, year B, and year C, and those are given over to Matthew, Mark, and Luke, but not to John. And the reason is that John has a priority in all of the years, because the lectionary, that's the explanation of the readings for each Sunday, says that if there's only one reading on a Sunday, it should be the St. John reading. Now, if we go back in time to Ninian, we're talking 5th century, the Roman Empire is still there, it has its effect, this is still Britannia. And Aninian, who was a saint based in Whithorn, had travelled down to Rome to be trained. And in his travels, he had a contact with the St. Martin's community. And he also was influenced by John Cassian, conversations with him. John Cassian, who had been influenced by one of the desert fathers, the Greek desert fathers, called Antony, who only had a John's Gospel, then put the thoughts of the John's Gospel into Cassian, into Martin, into Ninian, who brought it back here. So there was, from the earliest of times, this primacy of John's Gospel. We have to ask what's at the heart of John's Gospel, which we'll come to as we go on to reflect. Abba Isaac, who's another one of these desert fathers, said, "You're to go to your cell and pray, and there you will be taught all that you need to be and to do." And it seems very much that John's Gospel was part of all of that tradition. What is in John's Gospel? Well, one of the themes that comes through is abiding in me and I will abide in you. Those are the words Jesus talks to his disciples when he's reflecting about God living in them. And our Eden Wild Goose motif has in the background of it this fantastic Celtic design, which, as Cameron pointed out when he looked at it, is two lines that twiddle around each other, and there's this sense of the entwining love of God in us and us in God. But again, thinking of that design, the high cross, the St. John, the St. Martin, the poor, and the love. Now, that sense of love of God being with us is so important and so vital to what we're looking at. Taking another thread, there are so many pre-Reformation churches in this country, and indeed in Europe, and they all look east, not to face Jerusalem, which is a common thought, but there's another thought. There's often a large east window to capture the light. So there might be a high cross, maybe just inside the church, or around near that window, and that as the sun comes up, people are facing the sun, and as the light comes through and lights up the cross, that's when people would start their morning worship. Reflecting John's Gospel again, the first day Mary Magdalene went to the tomb in the dawn light, and as the risen sun came, Jesus appeared to her in those early hours of the morning, and there she worshipped Jesus. So there's this sense that we stand with Mary Magdalene, who was loved by Jesus, welcoming the dawn, the first light, the light to the world, and learning what it is to see Jesus come into our lives. Now, Cuthbert talked about Jesus all the time. He walks the ancient paths. And in the reading that is attached on another part of this website from Bede, who is a historian, not far after the time of Cuthbert, writing about Cuthbert, talks about him going throughout all his lands, walking and talking and sharing and teaching and ministering to the poor. Now, there we have this Martin and St. John thing again, because he was very concerned for the poor and did what he could to help those in need in these sparsely populated areas. And when it talks about him going up into the hillsides, you can only imagine him up perhaps in the area here, in the Pennines, in Geltsdale and so on the High Gelt, sharing with people something about the love of God with them. Bede talks about him giving time to people, listening and praying and preaching, and to people who wanted to be disciples of Jesus. And then everywhere he went, he also gave a word of blessing on all people in all life, whatever their situations. Now, if we start pulling some of these threads together, let's just go back into what I've said and start to pull that together. What we find is the good news of Jesus has a concern for those who cannot help themselves. And hopefully that will begin to come across into the Eden Wild Goose themes as well. In some sort of way we will begin to explore that. There as well, this sense of Cuthbert talking, walking and talking with people. Aidan, who was before him, would often say to people, "What do you know of Jesus? And would you like me to tell you more?" And that's partly as well in our Eden Wild Goose foundational themes and values as well. There's this sense of community, because Cuthbert would go to communities and pull them together and get people to look after each other. That was a part of the good news of Jesus as well. And Cuthbert, of course, spent lots of time outside. He prayed outside. He prayed under the open stars. He prayed in water. He prayed wherever he could. And this is such an important theme of the whole of the Eden Wild Goose spirituality as well, is that prayer is for every part of our life. It can be inspired by nature. It can be inspired by that little gospel that Cuthbert used to carry around with him. It can be inspired by the need around us. Prayer is part of everything we do. And maybe one of the things that comes through from Cuthbert is this recognition that prayer isn't just for 1 hour on a Sunday in a building, but for all the other hours and all the other days out and about wherever we are. So, in terms of how Cuthbert might inspire the Eden Wild Goose, there's something about living life to all in its fullness, and to being out and about and open, sharing with each other what motivates us. And for the Eden Wild Goose, right at the heart of it is something deep with regards to how Jesus has changed our lives. So that's a reflection on Cameron Butland's talk to us on the Sunday of that weekend, and maybe some lessons and some thoughts that we can take in to Eden Wild Goose, into our foundational values.